Allah Jalla wa Ala have mentioned in His book, in which Allah has stated, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated that Allah will not punish them, meaning the people, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them whilst they are seeking His forgiveness. Whilst an individual is seeking the forgiveness of Allah due to the shortcomings and sins that are present within mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to forgive them, continues to keep them away from punishing them. And this is due to the fact that there is no doubt that from the obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that mankind, and especially and more so the believers, those who know the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they are constant in istighfar, that they are constant in seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so, my brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with istighfar, when seeking the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam, the one whose sins, previous and present, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forgiven him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had overlooked him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entered him into the company of those who are the most closest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and seek forgiveness for your sins, and likewise for the men, for the believing men, and also for the believing women. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek forgiveness. So if that is the case with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, addressing the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, then what is the case with the rest of us? That individuals, no doubt, from mankind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us so that there are occasions that we transgress and that we oppose that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands from us in that regard that we seek His forgiveness and we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make istighfar, and istighfar is a part of tawbah. That an individual, that when he commits a sin, that he leaves alone the sin. Because he realizes that he has sinned. He realizes that he has transgressed the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he realizes that, then he implements tawbah. He makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning to Him in repentance by leaving off the sin with immediate effect. That he feels remorse for that which he has done, and sorrow and grief for that which he has entered into by way of sin. That an individual seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he makes this istighfar and he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. And then that he resolves never to return back to the sin again. And every time that he commits a crime, every time that he transgresses against that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, then he implements that. He realizes his shortcoming. The problem arises, my brothers and sisters, is when an individual, that he commits a sin and that he does not care and he does not feel remorse and he does not feel grief and he does not feel sadness that he has opposed the deen of Allah. He doesn't care that Allah may be angered, that Allah has become angry. He doesn't care that he may be punished. This type of individual is the individual, my brothers and sisters, this carefree one who belittles sin, that he doesn't regard sin to be anything. This type of individual is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most angry with. Because this individual doesn't care about forgiveness. This individual proceeds upon sin without regret and without remorse, without turning to Allah, without sorrow, without seeking forgiveness. This is the one who is in the most dangerous state of affairs. But as for the one who sins, then this individual who sins but he feels sorrow, He sins, but he feels remorse. He sins and he feels grief. He sins and he looks for a way to seek Allah's forgiveness. He knows what he's done is wrong. This individual is different to the first one, like the difference between the heavens and the earth. Iblis, he sinned. And our father Adam, he sinned. Iblis, he sinned without sorrow and remorse. Iblis, he sinned without regret. Iblis, he sinned without istighfar and seeking forgiveness. When our father Adam alayhi salam sinned, that he felt grief and he felt remorse and he turned to Allah and he sought Allah's forgiveness and Allah forgave him. Which one is in paradise for eternity and which one is in the hellfire for eternity? Yet both of them sinned. But the sin of one was due to his arrogance and pride and kufr and his lack of repentance and his lack of grief and remorse and sorrow. Whereas the other one, our father Adam alayhi salam, then that was completely the opposite. So put yourselves, when you commit a sin, and when you fall short, as inevitably each and every one of us does, put yourself in that position whereby that you feel that remorse and you feel that sorrow, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As occurs in the hadith Qudsi that I'm sure everyone is familiar with, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and you ask of me, I shall forgive you for that which you have done and I shall not care. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would surely forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with the sins or with sins nearly as great as the earth itself, and were you then to face me, after ascribing no partner to me in worship, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as the earth itself. So one should not feel at any stage that he is despairing at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should be constant in seeking forgiveness from Allah. And likewise, with regard to the prophets, we have that which occurred with Musa alayhi salam, that Musa, that he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ذَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي. O my Lord, I have wronged my own soul, or wronged and transgressed against myself, so forgive me. And this is the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, that the Prophet Musa and the Anbiya in general were of that regard, that they were individuals endowed with revelation, that Allah had chosen them to reveal the revelation from above the seven heavens and above the throne. That even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had entrusted them with the revelation, and they were the trustworthy servants of Allah, and they did not lie, nor did they deceive, yet these individuals were individuals, my brothers, of the highest resolve and of the highest character and the most excellent of manners and characteristics. Yet these individuals were at the forefront of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't matter what crime you've committed, my brothers and sisters. Just like in the hadith of the man who came to the people and he said to the people, I've killed 99 men. Direct me to someone who can help me. So they directed him to an ignorant monk. So he said to the monk, I've killed 99 men. Is there any forgiveness? He said, 99 men? 99 men? There is nothing. There is no forgiveness for you. So then that man, he killed the ignorant monk. So then he returned back to the people with remorse. And they guided him to a scholar. So when he went to the scholar, he said, I've killed 100 men, 100 people. Is there any forgiveness for me? So he said, what is there between you? What is there, or what barrier is there between you and the mercy of Allah and the forgiveness of Allah? Nothing. So then he advised him. He advised him to leave the land in which he had committed these crimes and go to a land where there are righteous people. people of piety and goodness, which is a proof, my brothers and sisters, about the great importance of sticking to the people of piety and righteousness, that when you commit sin, then you should leave the company of sin and stick to the people of piety and goodness, the people who are truthful and trustworthy as it relates to their religion and their manners and their behavior. So he advised him, go to such and such a land. Leave this land in which you've committed this crime. So then he embarked upon that journey. And whilst he was upon the journey, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul. That it was written for him that he was to die, so he died. Then two angels disputed, the angel of mercy and the angel of punishment. As for the angel of mercy, he said that he left the sins, he was up to the land of the pious. So now he should be under the mercy of Allah, entered into paradise. The other one, he argued, rather, he was a person who killed many. He is a person who has killed 100. What has he done? In reality, what had he done? Except that he embarked, he got onto a riding beast and embarked upon a journey. For what purpose should he be forgiven? So they disputed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are numerous narrations of this hadith. But in a narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent amongst them a judge to reconcile them and to judge between them. So then it was judged that they should measure the distance from the land of sin from which he had come and the land to which he was traveling, where he would be, which would be considered as the land in which he had repented, or the land of repentance. So the land in which he is closer to, the land of sin, if he is closer to that land, then that individual, he would be considered to be a sinner and he would earn the punishment of Allah. And if it turned out that he was closer to his destination, the land of the pious, then that will be considered, if he's closer to that land, to be the land of mercy and therefore entered into paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew that the land from which he was coming, he was closer to, meaning the land in which he had committed the crimes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stretched the land from which he was coming and shortened the distance between him and the land to which he was going. So when the angels measured the land to which he was going, they found that he was closer to the land to which he was going. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him, even though this individual had killed 100 people. This shows the great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when sometimes we find from the youth, and we find from ourselves, that sometimes we feel despair, or certain individuals may feel despair, that they have committed so many crimes, committed so many sins, that they transgress against their own souls, then what is there for them to do? That they find it hard to repent, they find it hard to consider themselves to be people of piety, then they should not despair. They should not despair at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah jalla wa ala has stated, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, O servants who have transgressed against themselves with sins, despair not at the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Truly He is oft forgiving, most merciful. So don't despair at the mercy of Allah. Don't think to yourselves, the crime that I've committed, there is no forgiveness for. Unless that crime, of course, be shirk. But when a person commits shirk or kufr, then even with regard to that, so long as a person abandons it, he enters into the fold of Islam, he testifies with the shahadatain, with the two testimonies of faith, and he enters into the fold of Islam, then that which proceeded by way of shirk and paganism and idolatry and kufr, then all of that is wiped away due to a person's testimony of faith. So don't ever consider yourselves to be so, you know, stooped in criminality or so drowned in sin that there is no chance for you. Take that path of piety and forgiveness and repentance. Take that path. And from the greatest means of that path, my brothers and sisters, is the path of Tawbah. Is the path of Tawbah and the path thereafter, my brothers and sisters, as occurs in the hadith of the man who killed 100 men, that you take to righteous companionship. That you watch who you accompany. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili. A man is upon the religion of his close companion. That's where a man is. You want to know the character of an individual, the religion of an individual, whether that individual is a person of sunnah, whether that individual is a person of bid'ah, whether that individual is a Salafi, whether he is other than a Salafi, then look towards his companionship and you need not look any further. You need not look any further. As occurred with Sufyan al-Thawri, when he entered into Baghdad, and all of the Tullab, and Sufyan al-Thawri was from the great A'imma of al-Islam, died in the year 161 after the Hijrah. When Sufyan al-Thawri entered into Baghdad, he had around him, from those who gathered to meet with him, and to study with him, and to benefit from him, even though we find, this shows you the level of this great Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said about him, almost half a century later, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, that no one takes precedence in my heart more than Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. And this is the statement of the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So when he entered into Baghdad, and he had all of his students around him, he asked them about a particular individual. He said to them, how do you consider so and so? They said, we don't know anything about him, except that he is a man of Sunnah. So Sufyan al-Thawri said, what is his companionship? Who does he walk with? Who does he enter upon? And from whose dwelling does he leave? So they considered and they said, by Allah, he does not accompany except the Mu'tazila. So Sufyan al-Thawri said, then he is the Mu'tazili. Meaning that this individual that he accompanies, these innovators, these people of misguidance, so he is a person of misguidance. Even though in their initial answer, that they said, we don't know anything about him except the Sunnah. But Sufyan al-Thawri and the great A'imma and the great Imams of the Sunnah, they realized that a person is upon nothing except the religion of his companions. So if your companionship is good, if you enter upon the good, and you exit from the good, and you walk with the people of goodness, and you talk with the people of goodness, then you are a person who has with him goodness. This is the measure. And this is those principles, or from those principles, that were implemented by the great A'imma, based upon the textual evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Can I ask the brothers to come closer to each other in your rows so that there's room enough for those people who have come in late for them to go to the back of the masjid. جزاكم الله خيرا. So as we stated this, as we mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O servants who have transgressed against themselves with sin, despair not at the mercy of Allah. The scholars have agreed that this noble ayah, as Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah mentions commenting upon the ayah, that the scholars have agreed that this noble ayah was revealed regarding the ones who repented. So whomsoever repented from sins with a sincere and truthful tawbah, then Allah will forgive all of his sins due to this ayah and due to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah jalla wa ala has stated, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَسُوحًا عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ أَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَيُدْخِلَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. In which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in this ayah, O you who believe, turn to Allah in repentance, a true and sincere repentance. It may be that your Lord will expiate your sins and admit you into the gardens of paradise under which rivers flow. So Allah the Mighty and Majestic, He connected the expiation of one's sins and entry into paradise mentioned in this ayah with a true and sincere repentance, meaning that the person commits a sin, but he is a believer. He believes in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. He commits a sin, yet he is a believer. That this individual transgresses against himself, then because of his making a true and sincere repentance, then Allah expiates his sins and enters him into paradise. Tawbah, my brothers and sisters, Tawbah is a cause and a reason for entering into Jannah. So let us be from those individuals, my brothers and sisters, young and old, and more so the youth, who daily encounter temptation towards sin, who daily encounter, due to their youthfulness and due to their lack of experience of the worldly affairs and due to them being tempted by that which the world and the surrounding world offers them by way of decoration and by way of temptation and by way of desires, that they should be extra cautious with regard to this affair. That no doubt that you'll be tempted. No doubt that the desires will call you. No doubt that the shaitan, that he will call out and he will whisper to you. And you have to fight him with the jihad, and that jihad against the nafs, and the jihad against the shahawat, and the jihad against the shubahat, the desires and the doubts that shaitan presents to you. Then the Muslim, he must fight against that, because these doubts and desires are not presented except by Iblis and his army. So fight those desires. Not to say, of course, that the temptations will not be presented to you and that every single one of us will be a perfect model of a believer. That, my brothers and sisters, is hard to find. But what is easier to find is that when we fall short and when we are tempted, that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we mention Him. And we mention Him with tahmid and tahleel and takbir and tasbih and istighfar. That if we are constant in the remembrance of Allah, then there will be a fortress set up around your heart that will prevent Iblis from conquering it. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the similitude of the one who remembers Allah and the one who does not is like the similitude of a person who is pursued. That person who is pursued in the worldly affairs. So he's pursued and he races away and he runs away from him, from the one who is pursuing him, his enemy, up until he enters into a castle or into a fortress and he pulls up the drawbridge and he seals himself in away from his enemy so his enemy cannot harm him. This is the similitude of the one who remembers Allah and the one who does not remember Allah. So the zikr of Allah will prevent you from sin, will keep you away from sin, will keep you mindful that I am remembering Allah, I am praising Allah, I am mentioning the greatness of Allah and I'm exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet I am looking at that which is forbidden. Yet I am touching that which is forbidden. Yet I am speaking about that which is forbidden. Yet I am listening to that which is forbidden. Yet upon my tongue I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are preventative barriers, my brothers and sisters, from falling into sin and transgression. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which is correct and strengthen us with regard to those temptations that are presented to us, so that we may turn away from Him and we may turn to the guidance of Allah and so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps our tongue moist with the remembrance of Allah and with istighfar and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa jazakum Allahu khairan walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.